Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. We're chuckling because Ed was threatening to pull back the curtain here, and we might as well do it. See, what happens, folks, is I bring my MacBook in here, and I count on Cal being here to help me with my technical problems, and that's what he was doing offline with me.
And to be completely fair, because you're a Mac user, that's what I do. We also have another vintage Internet Advisor person here who sometimes taps on the Windows side of the world, and it's a great balance in how we do things.
That's
here.
Exactly,
it's lots of fun.
So if you are running a Mac machine out there, an Apple machine, have concerns or questions about iOS or about OS 10 and any of that, please feel free to give us a call. Cal is an expert in that area. And Eddie, you do work on all sorts of systems, but in particular, Windows is your area.
Yeah, it is. And a lot more Androids. And we had a caller a few weeks ago that called in, gave us his email address, and I promised him to send him information because he was tapping all of our brain cells about what we used to do with on a 286 processor in the 80s, low 80s, like 84, and how to format the hard drive. You used to have to enter a debug mode, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we've tried emailing this gentleman several times. The screeners gave us his email again last week so I could send him this information from a colleague at work that's even older than I am that had manuals. And also I found YouTube videos and Microsoft articles about how to do this.
Uh-huh.
So I used Bing to search for it. And we've been unsuccessful in sending him this information. So if he wants to call our screeners, or better yet, if he goes to contact us, he goes to internetadvisor.net, goes to the contact button on the top right of the screen, he could type in there and say, hey, this is Rick, I think his name was, and type in his email address in there, because obviously I miswrote down his email address.
Right.
Our screeners did. Type it, please.
So, by the way, what Ed's talking about is one of the other ways that you can get questions to us, other than giving us a call right now. I mean, this is golden moment for you. If you have something that's been driving you nuts with your computer, we've got a tremendous amount of talent in here. It's just kind of sitting here waiting for you to give us a call at 800-859-0957. And by the way, don't be bashful about that. When you ask your question, regardless of where you're calling from or what the level of question is, it doesn't have to be real fancy, you're helping a lot of other people when you do that. So again, the number is 800-859-0957. Cal?
You know something? It just dawned on me, too. If you happen to ask a question and you didn't write down all the information, you couldn't remember what Ed said, you can also go to iTunes, pull down our podcast there, replay that particular show, and hear exactly what Ed said. And if you get caught on something, you can rewind it, play it back again as many times you want until you get it right.
And there's all sorts of places to find us. Matter of fact, if you go back to internetadvisor.net, you can download or you can listen to our podcast there. You can go to iTunes or you can go to podcastdetroit.com, and you'll find us listed there as well. Okay, we got some calls coming in. And again, we're going to be here until 5 o'clock today. It's a little different than we normally do on Saturdays when we're usually on from 4 until 6 today. The schedule's a little bit different because of the basketball game coverage beginning at 5 o'clock.
Okay, so who do we have on the line?
Well, Eric Dorsch right now is setting things up. We've got Don getting lined up from Macomb, and we'll have him on. As a matter of fact, let's bring him in right now. Don, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
How can we help you?
Well, the last week or so, I've been having a new problem with my computer. When I turn on my email, I click on one of my emails, all of a sudden it hesitates for 30 to 60 seconds, and then at the bottom it says, Comcast is not responding because of a long-running script. And then there's a little box over there that says stop script, so I clicked on that, and it used to work fine. Now all of a sudden it shuts down my email and then reopens it back up again.
I actually had that same problem this morning when I was, what was I trying to access? And I got I think it was MSN.com, a long-running script. So I used Google Chrome to open up Microsoft's MSN website, and it opened up right away. A lot of times this is because of when you open up a particular website, it has to determine what web browser are you using, and then how do I tailor my ads for that web browser so that you can see all that stuff that we really don't want to see, but they need to, you know, so they can have their website out there and sell revenue and get ad clicks and stuff like that. So try an alternate web browser would be my first guess.
Oh, okay.
It seems like that is what it is waiting for all the ads to load up on the right-hand side of my screen. And then finally, when When it loads up over there, then I can click on something and I will get some movement in my computer.
What?
But before that, it sits there and does nothing.
Yeah, so sometimes, you know, a programmer will use an ActiveX control, and that is only used in some of the versions of Internet Explorer. We tell people don't do that because there's sometimes...
We being the great Gary Baker, and it's not a practice. No, it's not a practice that you should practice when developing a website anymore.
Yes.
That's
right.
What you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was, Cal was giving me the evil eye. I'm going, what are you?
Well, you know, ActiveX, you know, HTML5 is, you know, what should be going on nowadays.
Well, but, and that's where Gary's
absolutely
going.
They
yes.
should. And
yes.
we tell
yes.
people not to do that, but they do it every once in a while anyway. Chrome okay. deals with some of those a lot better and easier, and people shouldn't use them.
What
and
browser?
I don't know why they do that.
I'm curious now, what browser are you using right now?
I'm with the Internet Explorer. Google comes up first, and then it's Internet Explorer.
Well, yeah, I mean, so you're saying you bring up, you use Internet Explorer, and mm-hmm. your homepage is the Google Chrome, right?
Right.
I go to Xfinity.
Okay,
Xfinity
is your home.
Oh,
homepage.
I'm sorry, I misinterpreted that.
Yep.
Okay. That's okay, but you're using Internet Explorer, I believe it.
So correct. The question I have for you guys, being Windows-oriented, how does he update his Internet Explorer to offset this problem?
Well, it may not be a problem. What version of the operating system are you running? Are you running seven?
Seven.
So you're running
Windows 7.
And you're probably running Internet Explorer 11, I would imagine?
That one I'm not sure of, but I've never had this problem before. It usually works great.
And it could be just a corrupt... script player, right? So if it's an ActiveX, it could be corrupt. So you could uninstall it and then reinstall it, and that.
And which one would I uninstall?
Well, before you do that, try it in an alternate browser like Chrome to access your email. And and Gary's would be like the third step. The second step. So try it in Chrome. And then if it works in Chrome, go back to Internet Explorer and clean out your cache. So you go into the Internet Explorer tools, Internet options, and clean out your temporary Internet files.
Okay.
Okay. And and just try that first. And then I wouldn't go to the next step right away about uninstalling Internet Explorer. It could be a change they've made at the Comcast Mail website. You know, on their end, give it a few days. And after they get a couple million complaints, maybe they'll fix it.
Right.
Sounds good. Yeah, I do have a contract, you know, that's and they take over remote access of my computer. Mm-hmm. And they ran through the whole thing, and they says, hey, yes, you should. Everything's cleaned up. You're in good shape now. Of course, as soon as I brought up the email, the same thing happened again. So it barely was something that they couldn't quite figure out either.
Yeah. It's probably on their end,
would
think.
And again, our advice generally to people out there is have more than one browser that you're using, so that if you do run into problems, you can switch over, and at very least, it helps you with troubleshooting.
And if you go back to the first one eventually, at least you can troubleshoot with the two. Find out if it's the browser itself.
And here's an example of what some of those scripts do. Have you ever noticed that when you go to Amazon.com or eBay and you're searching for items, and then the next time you open up your Comcast website, a homepage or Infinity, or if you go to even MSN, that the ads that are on that, or if even Facebook, that the ads are tailored to your searches. Guess what those scripts are doing? They're actually searching through your cookies and then tailoring their ads towards you.
Right.
So this is the busiest shopping time of the year.
Yep.
Man, they're probably scouring for cookies for stuff you wanted 6 months ago. This is all speculation, and I'm saying it in jest, but half jest.
Yeah,
really.
Half jest.
Beautiful.
Don, have a great holiday season.
Thank you so much for your help. Have a great
day. You're welcome. Thank you for your call. Okay, here's a number, folks, 800-859-0957. Got about a half an hour left. Don, down in Florida. Barbie Bob and Timothy in Southfield. We'll get to you folks in just a moment. And to your call as it's coming in now at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor on the air for you. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. We are actually in our second hour. Normally, this would be our first, but for those of you who are used to waiting until 5 to call, don't, because we're not going to be on the air at that point. Michigan State basketball will be on the pregame. And so we've got about another 25 minutes to answer your calls at 800-859-0957. Bob from deep in Florida, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Glad to have you on with us.
Well, thanks, guys. I grew up with you. I'm a native Ann Arbor guy. I just moved down here 4 years ago. And you know what? I can't find another station like WJR down here.
Oh, where is down here in Florida?
Bradenton.
Bradenton.
We're between Tampa and Sarasota, right in the middle.
Oh, wow. And you're listening to, I'm
beautiful
presuming, you're
area.
Listening to us on the internet right now. I'm going to guess.
I'm listening to you actually off iHeartRadio.
Ah, iHeartRadio. That's excellent. Great That's application.
Yes.
Right, so what's,
yes.
What's your question for us?
Okay, I've got an iMac. Had iMacs for years.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's been working fine. Everything is continuing to work for fine, except for my iPhoto. All of a sudden, my photos are all there.
Yeah.
But when I go to open it, it opens and then just quits.
Okie dokie. For some reason or another, everyone in the room turned and looked at me. I have no idea why.
Why would that be, right? Just because you're the expert, right?
So, just for fun, tell me, what version of Mac OS 10 are you running?
10.6, I believe.
10.6, okay. And when did this problem first happen to you?
Maybe about 3 weeks ago it started doing this. Up until then, I've not had any kind of problem at all.
Have you recently done an update on your computer?
No.
Okay, good. What you might...
I purposely don't update anything.
Oh, well, you know, sooner or later, you got to get around to doing that.
Yeah, buy a new iMac.
Yeah, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Listen, I think maybe what you might want to do is that on your machine, if you go up to the Go button on the menu there and hold down the Option key and click on it at the same time, you'll see a selection on there that'll show up that says Library.
Okay.
And then in Library.
I'm not on right now, but.
Yeah, then within Library, you're going to go into Preferences. And in Preferences, you're going to scroll down that list till you find the one that says com.apple.photo. And what you're going to do is you're going to take that P list that's in there and you're going to drag that into your trash. And then. Close up the photo application, open it back up again, and that should probably fix it.
Now, a plist, or this particular file you're talking about, it's a database that contains the thumbnails and file listings, and it's corrupt. Is that where you're going?
It's a little, it's a preference list. It's all the settings and everything that goes along with it.
Oh, so it's a preference list for your
photo? For that one application.
Right,
application.
Okay, I misinterpreted it.
He's going to take and dump that out. It's going to create a brand new preference list for him, and it should rebuild that and get it up and going again.
All right.
Okay. Foster.
Yes, sir.
If I go back this afternoon and listen to your podcast, will I hear this again?
You'll hear it on Sunday. I will be editing it and putting it back up probably late Sunday afternoon.
Okay, so then I can go back and listen to this.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. And thank you for mentioning that, Bob, and because for the rest of you who are out there, if you miss a twist or turn in an answer... Or a question, you can simply go back to the podcast, and you can do that. You can also simply go back to internetadvisor.net, and there'll be a link right there that you can download.
Right, and you can download that entire MP3 and then send your voice to all of your relatives.
There you go.
Look at that.
That's just what they want to hear, my voice again.
Yeah, for Christmas, there you go.
So just to reiterate that, to make sure you got it right, the file you're looking for is called com.apple.photos.
Okay, I will try to remember that, and if not, I'll go back on your podcast and go through the whole thing.
You'll hear
Gentlemen,
it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You hear that? Hey, happy holidays to you down there in Florida.
To you guys, too, and we're waiting for the snow, which will never happen.
That's
oh, well.
Right.
We'd somehow, be glad to send some of that to you.
Somehow, I don't think he's going to be heartbroken about that. All right. Timothy from Southfield, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. Listen, I don't have a real problem. I just recently upgraded to Windows 10 from Windows 7 on my computer.
Yes.
And it's not broken, but when I click the Start button in the lower left-hand side and it opens up that big box that has all your little Start icons and other things there, it's normally they're normally blue, but sometimes they're sort of yellow. And I don't know why they're yellow. And I've looked all over the internet. I've tried to find what's going on. In fact, even the little Windows thing in the bottom left hand corner displays as yellow instead of displaying as clear, gray like it normally does.
Okay. Is this a desktop computer?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I've seen this at work, and I have the problem because I have a laptop computer with an external monitor, and if the cable is not plugged in properly, that I lose one of the VGA signals. I lose one of the color signals on one of the pins that connects to from the computer to the monitor. So, I mean, that's what I suspect it is. I think if you unscrew the video cable and plug it back in, you'll probably be fine. Now, was this HDMI? Well, you know, I've seen this both on VGA, Super VGA, and HDMI, mm-hmm. and Mini HDMI.
Like, oh, wow.
Isn't that what that's called? Is that on the MacBooks and the XPS, they call that the display port?
Oh, well, it's called a DVI port.
The DVI, digital video
input. Interface.
Interface, right. Okay.
And I've seen it on all of them that you can lose just that one color. I
just
have not
momentarily,
heard.
And then it fixes and it goes back to the way it was?
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I sometimes if I just rest my hands on my keyboard, which is right underneath my monitor, that little jiggling moves the cable enough to make it return back. So that's what I'm speculating.
And you want to make sure to check both ends of the cable to make sure it's tight, not just the one end of the back.
Yeah, unplug both ends of however. I think it's one of those old styles where you screw it in, you know?
Yes, that's probably the DB15, they call that.
Yeah, and I'll just undo that at the monitor, too, and then I'll plug them back in. Like I said, it nothing goes wrong. It's just, it's like, I thought it was like telling me something like, you need to know that there's this thing going on here.
It is telling you something. It's telling you that it's missing one of the color pins.
Oh, okay.
And it can't mix the colors properly, so it goes like, well, yellow looks good. Let's give them yellow.
No, you know, that's a great point. Like, warning, like you always see on TV where the screens are flashing red. And,
right.
Yeah, that's supposed to mean something. I don't think that means anything in this instance.
Well, wonderful. Listen, I appreciate it very much and love you guys.
Yeah, welcome, Tim. Nice having you. Talking to you. Again, the number is 800-859-0957. Boy, I'm happy when we have things like that we can answer versus some of the other ones that kind of make you scratch your head and wonder what in the world is going on. 800-859-0957. Ron from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Yes, I do have a little problem here. When I go into my system, I have most of my programs bookmarked. And sometimes when I bookmark them, I'll get in the address bar the HTTP, and it won't work. But I'll get something. The other times I'll get HTTPS, and it will work. And I'm wondering what's causing it to flip out of the HTTPS to HTTP. And I understand that one is secure site, the other is not. And then after that happens, I get a lady on there that looks like an operator asking for support.
Well, wait. You get a lady on where?
When she comes on the screen. When she comes, you know, the picture of a lady on the screen.
I got you. And then all of a sudden it's asking you for support connect.
Right.
Do you have any particular program that you've installed on your computer that should be showing you that?
No. I don't know where they come from. They just pop in there.
Okay.
I mean, I've been getting that for the last month or so.
Yeah,
they pop in, and I don't know where they come from. But when I see them, I try to click them off. And normally what I do is if I see them too frequently, I click them off, and then I'll restart my computer.
Okay.
So I've never seen this on the Mac, so I don't think you're running a Mac.
No, I'm running Windows.
Yeah, I could have bet my last week's paycheck on that.
Uh-huh.
What I would do is I would download a program for called Malwarebytes.
Malwarebytes, okay.
Malwarebytes.org. And download their free version. It's a program that's used to scan and remove malicious software that's on your computer.
Okay.
And a lot of antivirus programs, for some reason, do not remove what you're experiencing. You have a Trojan on your computer that's trying to trick you into clicking these people and then paying them $200 to repair your computer when there's probably nothing wrong on it.
Exactly.
What's wrong is
that
this...
That's what I'm assuming when I did that, because I know a year ago I did that, paid them. And it worked for about 6 months, and then they come back again.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Okay, so you have been stung before, and it's...
Absolutely.
I'm going to guess that's very likely that some of that program was left on your computer.
Exactly, and a little timer went off that says, we need more money, and,
But I got protection on there, and I don't understand how I was getting past that.
Well, there's two different types of protection. One protection is for viruses. The other one is for malware. And what you have in your particular case is a malware issue.
Uh-huh.
And what Ed is suggesting to you is to download Malwarebytes, which will remove that malware from your computer. Then you reboot it, bring it back up again, and you should be back whole again.
Now, if you go to the internetadvisor.net, on the top of the screen, we have a link that says Toolkit. Click on that, and you'll see the word malware tools to remove. This is a free utility that you can download. But unfortunately, you spell malware or bytes, B-Y-T-E-S.
And
so, yeah, that's why I'm recommending you go to internetadvisor.net, click on toolkit, follow the links to Malwarebytes, and download it.
Okay, Ron.
Install
it. Sounds good, sir. I appreciate that.
All right, Ron. Thank you for your call. And by the way, we are now closing in on 5 o'clock, so there's still time for a few more of your calls. If you've been thinking about doing this, go ahead, give us a call right now at 800-859-0957. And we'll get an answer for you before we wrap up. We're wrapping things up here in this second hour of the Internet Advisor, but we do have a couple phone lines open at 800-859-957. Wait a minute. 800-859-0957. You never had that happen to you? You kind of get up, it just derails a
little
bit.
It's like putting the wrong emphasis on the right saliva.
Yeah.
Maria, we'll be with you in just a second. Again, the number 800-859-0957. Just had somebody
and your cheat sheet's sitting down here instead of up.
You're right.
That's why you can't, I usually just read it when I sit in your chair. So.
Somebody just called and asked about this. Shane Hamlin is one of our experts that's on the air with us often. He works for a company called CompTech Services. They're on Shaner. And it just right near 18 Mile Road in Sterling Heights. And somebody called up and asked and said, who is he and how can I get in touch with him? Shane is somebody we trust.
He owes me money or they want to get his help.
You can visit him and you can also go to, let's see if I can get that address up here quickly.
Well, while he's
CompTech US, it's called Comp, C-O-M-P, Tech, T-E-C-H. us.com, CompTechUS.com, and you can find out more about it there. Shane Hamlin.
And seeing all we're doing shameless plugs, I'll just go ahead and do one right now. Next weekend, if you're not doing anything, and of course you will be, you come on out to the Mac Group meeting. We'll be having it at our usual location at the Birmingham Temple in Farmington Hills, and it starts at 3 p.m. We'll be talking about, there's going to be two speakers. Dave McGuire is going to be there, and he'll be talking about Mac OS X. And I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be talking about backup and all the things that you have to do to be able to back up your computer.
So while your significant other is shopping, you drop them off, you head over to the temple.
Sure. There you go.
It's
the place to be, and we'll be there between 3 and 5 p.m. Come on out. It's open to everybody. You don't have to be a Mac user. We have principles that we're going to talk about that are good for any platform you may use.
And we should say, you also have a Genius Bar that's there.
The Genius Bar is there at 2 o'clock. If you have a problem with a computer, you can bring the computer with you. They'll sit down. They'll show you how to fix it. I want to put more memory in it. I want to put a hard drive in and bring that with you, and they'll be more than glad to help you out in that particular case.
I can vouch for the fact that they're excellent at helping you there. Okay, that's a Mac Group. By the way, you can go to macgroup.org for more information if you'd like on that. Okay. Finally, let's wrap it up again. 800-859-0957. Maria from Birmingham, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Thank you. You were just mentioning the malware bytes.
Yes.
And I downloaded it last year, and they're bugging me constantly. They want me to buy the premium. I buy the premium? Will this be better?
Well, it'll stop the nagging, or it'll stop bugging you. What I do is, and I should have purchased it when it was $25 for life, right? Now it's $25 a year.
Yeah.
But how I use it personally is I use it, then I uninstall it after a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I need to use it again, I download it again. And then use it. But it's completely up to you. If you found that Malwarebytes is providing you and is stopping malicious software and it gives you that sense of comfort, then go ahead and purchase it. If not, uninstall it. And then you can always go out to that website and download it again.
And what I do is I just put up with this nagging and use it because it's free and it's great.
Yes.
So, on the other hand,
click and turn it on.
What does it cost per year?
$25 a year.
Maria, here's what happens too. The if you will, the for purchase one gives you a constant ongoing monitoring. That's
a real time protection.
Yeah, it is better. I just use it whenever I need it.
Yes.
Periodically and put up with the rest of it.
Right.
And I just use the free version.
That's the difference between them, is that one version which these guys are talking about. In other words, it's the same thing. It will do the same protection for you, except that the paid-for version does an ongoing, continual update.
Basically, it's in the background. It doesn't let the stuff get there to begin with, and it provides real-time protection like antivirus. Think of it as like a firewall to stop them from getting on your computer, where the free version, you have to actually start the program and then scan your computer.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Oh, it makes sense?
Yes, yes. I also have Microsoft Security. Are they... I don't know. Should I have both or...
What operating system are you running, Maria?
Windows
7? Is it Windows 7?
Yes, Windows 7. Yes.
Okay. Windows 7. It's good if you have the Microsoft Security Essentials on there. It's called MSE, Microsoft Security Essentials. Yes, that was very good. It was built to work with Microsoft's Windows 7. It works for free, and it is very good. So that should be running regularly, continually on your machine. Malware bytes you can bring in then, and like Gary's doing and the other folks there, only use it periodically to run your machine, to run on the machine to make sure that nothing else has gotten through, because the Microsoft Security Essentials is very, very good.
And what you want to do is make sure that you only have one antivirus. So you don't want to have Norton and McAfee and Microsoft Security Essentials all running at the same time. They'll just fight with each other.
Okay.
But you can have the malware bytes, so you have malware detection running with antivirus, just not two antivirus programs.
Right.
And if you
you're welcome, Maria.
If you really feel good about the product and what it's done for you, that sort of thing, purchasing it is a good thing to do.
Yes.
One, because it gives you a real-time protection. And two, if we don't buy them eventually, they'll go away because
that's
they can't be able to continue to create
you
for
got,
free.
And we've actually had guy that invented and owns Malwarebytes. We've had him on the show.
Fascinating conversation with him a couple of years ago.
So we do want him to stay in business because it's a great program.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd give us lifetime licenses, but that didn't happen.
Stephen from Roseville, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. I really enjoy your show, and you helped a lot.
Good.
And I got a real doozy here.
Okay.
Because I'm sort of a computer guy myself, and I've been working on this for a few months.
All right.
I had Internet 7, the upgrade, and I tried to download the free upgrade from Windows 10.
Uh-huh.
But it was taking a long time, and I ended up going to sleep before it happened. Then I went back to the trouble. It seemed like my computer would come on, go off. So I couldn't even reload something. So I had to put Windows 7 up from scratch again. And now there's nothing but trouble. It seems like out of a 150-gig hard drive, I've only got 5-gig free space, and it locks up on me a lot.
Mm. So that's strange. So did you lose all your data on your computer?
Yes, I did.
So if you've only just loaded Windows 7 on your computer from scratch and you had this hard drive, I'm suspecting either you installed it on the wrong partition, right? Because usually when you get a manufactured computer, they'll split the hard drive up in multiple partitions, and you probably didn't erase everything on that. You didn't erase all of the partitions on that singular hard drive. That or your hard drive is actually failing. I mean, that's a possibility.
How old is the hard drive?
It's pretty old. Well, I see it's about 7-8 years old.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. You know, I went to Micro Center. What I did is I went to Micro Center for a friend, and I actually picked up a 500-gigabyte laptop hard drive for $31.
A laptop hard drive.
Laptop hard drive.
So that
desktop.
Must mean the desktops are
probably even
10.
Cheaper.
Cheaper, yeah.
I could not believe it. And I went there, and I says, I'm looking for a cheap hard drive, and the guy opened it up, and here's a refurbished, because a lot of people are updating their hardware, and they resell these refurbished hard drives dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Steve, what we're going to do is just ask you to go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and hit the contact button, and put any further questions you have there into an email, and that'll come up, and give us your name and your email address, and we'll get back to you during the week. We do that with other people as well. And for the rest of you, you can also go to internetadvisor.net, and at the bottom of, when you click on our podcast, at the bottom of the page, there's a window there for comments as well. That's another way of getting hold of us. Thanks.